You're late.
Okay. This is awesome. Okay, here.
Why am I holding this?
This is an amazing parlor game.
Oh, is this the one where you make up your own words to a TV theme song?
Sort of, but check it out. Okay. Roman is gonna write down the number. I'm gonna guess it. Okay. Think of the number of times you've seen the movie 300. Write it down.
This is bullshit.
Come on, I just need the number for the game. It's really
fun. Write down
just
a number.
Come on, write it down.
It's fine. I'm not looking. Write it down. When you're finished, fold it and pass it to Henry. Very nice.
Why am I involved in this all of a sudden?
Okay, I lied. This is a test, actually, to see if you're gay. Because if you've seen the movie 300 more than once, you're gay.
Oh, come on! Nobody's doing nothing. What the hell?
Oh, what's the fascination? This? This right here?
Hey.
No, you know, actually, can we just hold on to that for a second?
Oh, no, well, I need you to prep the trays.
Ron, can you just read the
just
thing on the
number?
Just the number.
Not a chance. Not a chance to help.
Oh, God. It's got to be so important, right?
What does it say?
It's not important.
Six.
So with the clip we just heard, Lucy, how gay are you?
Well, I've seen this film several times.
What is several, though? Is that three?
Like, I used to watch it once a year.
Okay.
For about 5 years in a row. So at least five, six, counting the time we just watched it. Seven. I'd say 10 times.
10 times.
Yeah.
Of your own free will?
So I am 10 gay, I guess. 10 gay points.
I am not at all. Because this is the first time that I've ever seen 2006's 300 Zack Snyder. Our first Zack Snyder foray.
Is it? Wow. Okay. Here we go.
Yeah. I don't think we're really going to do too much unless we're just doing stuff more to make fun of. Because...
We've got Dawn of the Dead we could do as a little...
I've heard that's
crossover
actually good.
With Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that one's actually good. Yeah, and that's kind of what got him in. Then had this and was like, whoa, this is a visionary, all this. And then DC and everything drab and Superman.
Man of Steel, blah.
I don't know if this is real or not, but I thought I saw this quote, or I know I saw this quote from Christopher Nolan basically saying, like, praising his, like, Superman and, like, his vision of Superman and all that.
Okay, well, sure. I haven't seen it, so... Can't comment.
But like at this point right now, Christopher Nolan is about the highest praise you can get.
Yeah.
From anybody. But
I take it. Yeah.
It is History Month here, even though it kind of was with, we kind of inadvertently did it with Oscar Month. There were several.
We kind of did actually. Yeah.
And I'm like, History Month. And I know this one is near and dear to you.
What, History Month?
No, 300.
Or 300.
Yeah.
Oh,
300. Because we brought it up. I was like, we can do 300. You were happy at that.
I was very excited. I just love this film. It's not that I'm not super into the Spartans or whatever. That's not what it is. I just thought this film is just always, I don't know, it stuck with me. I could watch it over and over again. I really enjoy it. I think it's like the right level of kind of corny and action. The action's amazing. Yeah. So I just always enjoy this film.
They need to cut old Lena Headey and that storyline out.
No, she's great.
She's great, but it's not needed at all. And just really at this point, because here's the thing. I don't care for Zack Snyder, and I didn't think I would care for this movie. And I was pleasantly surprised at how much I actually enjoyed it. But every time it went away from the fighting and from the battle, once they marched to Thermopylae, I just was like, okay, I don't care about all this. And then not the senator, whatever he was, the politician who was then, you know, a traitor or whatever. It was just like, okay, I didn't need that. I just wanted to go see them kill people and do a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah, I mean... For me, this is her audition for Cersei Lannister.
Yeah.
If anything, this was just her gateway into that role. So,
and because I'd never seen it.
I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, because I'd never seen it. Game of Thrones, the first thing I'd ever seen her in. But then here, it's very clear. Like, oh, this is her. This is absolutely it.
Yep, she does a great job at this kind of queen, but really kind of not... A Spartan queen, I guess.
Queen Gorga.
A woman who's in charge, yes.
Gorga. And we will get into a fair amount, because it's History Month, of the history, especially ancient Greek and all of that. While I'm not an expert on it, I did take a couple classes, especially one over sport, like ancient Greek sport.
Yeah.
It kind of had to do with it, so we'll get into that. But stick around to the end of next week's episode where we will, what next week's episode will be. Stick around for this week's episode to next week. This is the day after... A birthday celebration where I was out all day, drank all day, did a bunch of stuff all day. And so my brain is even more broken than usual. Or just
it's funny because we're a few weeks ahead with our recording. So this is the last time this is the recording that I'll speak to you before your actual birthday. But by the time this one goes out, we'll be well past your birthday. So it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, this is March 24th. We're almost like two weeks ahead, which we never are. We always do it like the week of.
Yeah. So this is really good for us.
It's really good in that sense. Okay. Oh, there you go. That's my crutch word that was pointed out in that sense. I got to watch out for that.
Do you say that a lot?
I noticed it, and then somebody said it in Discord, and I was like, you know what that is? That's the one that I will lean on to wind down a sentence. So finish
Nobody point out mine, please. Nobody point out mine, because I'll get upset.
I don't really think you have any. Do you know you have one?
No, but I'll think about it a bit this episode and see if I wrap up a sentence in a certain way, if I can't think of something.
Make sure to check that out if you're not. Patreon.com/onthepath. Email us podonthepath@gmail.com. Questions, comments, suggestions. Check out all the links and socials, everything there below. So let's get into right now, guessing the gross, all right? 2006, this movie budgeted at $60 million.
Oh, that's quite modest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when they made $60 million movies.
Yeah. I'm really torn with this one because I don't remember how it was received when it came out all those years ago. Nearly 20 years ago.
You've seen the tomato meter.
I have seen the tomato meter. But I don't know how much I can trust that based on how it came out at the time. Because I don't know when they were written. Anyway, I think this probably made $150 million.
You have grossly underestimated. This movie was massive, and maybe because I was 22 and I might have been the only guy that hadn't seen this.
Okay.
This movie grossed $456 million.
Oh, I feel guilty. I love it.
Yeah. No, it's I remember it being huge. It kind of got him a blank check to do whatever. I know with Sucker Punch, I think, is one that he did after, and that bombed, and that kind of took his blank check away, and then he got the DC. And did all that. But no, I remember this being so fucking massive at a time before Twitter, before social media and all that, where I don't know if it was just like ancient memes. We're going to mention that a lot, too. There are so many memes from this movie.
Yeah.
And so many of them are now like prehistoric memes because they're essentially from that early YouTube era, that early, early Twitter era of like 2008, 2009.
Or just like millennial memes where it's just stuff that we said to each other in person rather than being like a GIF or an image that we send around.
Yeah, it's just really a reference. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, no, this kind of totally missed me when it came out. I guess I would have been like 12, 13 years old. So it makes sense.
Yeah. And it definitely, this definitely would have gone more towards guys. Although girls watching it, because again, the shirtless, the abs.
Jesus
and all
Christ.
That helped everybody.
Oh, it's absolutely obscene.
It is. All right, let's get to the tomato meter.
Okay, yes. So this is what the critics had to say about 300. They say, a simple-minded but visually exciting experience full of blood, violence, and ready-made movie quotes.
Man, see, we talked about this before we started recording. Before hearing that, I could have bet that this was like 30. And I also could have bet that it was 70. And so with that kind of makes it somewhat in the middle. I definitely think it's over 50%, but I don't think above a 70, especially because of other things. Let's go with 62.
Okay. Very close.
Oh, my God.
It's 61.
Oh, my God. Are you shitting me?
So close. So
what makes me feel better is I was thinking about 63.
Okay. And so, you got...
God damn it. How can I keep...
I know. You're doing so well.
Okay.
And that is a nice fresh red tomato. And there are over 250,000 ratings from the audience.
Wait, that was for the critics or the audience?
That was for the critics.
Okay. All right. So for the audience, it has to be higher. Like, it just has to be. 72.
Oh, you underrated the audience.
Really?
Yep, they go for 89%.
89? I'm so off with the audience. Like,
they loved it.
Well, because a movie like this, that's what I initially would have thought. But we've done a couple movies, and they don't come to mind like this. I would have been like, oh, the audience would have loved this. I guess like a 91, and it's like a 79 or like an 80.
Yeah,
and so that's
weird.
That's why with this, I would have thought it would have been like a 90, but because of the previous ones, I super undershot it. Okay, I'm a lot better with the critics than I am with the audience.
Oh my God, you're so close. I think one day soon you're going to get it exactly right.
The thing that I think I'll get exactly right is the one that I have, the only one I've gotten so far. Go check out our Patreon, 365 days. I got that one right because it was zero. And I was like, this has to be a zero. No one's going to put their name. So I think it's going to be a movie that's another zero we do, which I don't know if we'll ever do. I don't know if there's any with a zero besides that, or one that's like 100.
Yes. What would be 100?
Like maybe like a Casablanca or something like that. Even though there's always going to be like one person that's just, nah, I'm giving this a 4 out of 5. And that makes it like a fucking 99 or some shit.
Mm, shall I have a look?
No, we'll look it up later. Because we might do it.
Figure it out.
Yeah,
we'll okay, true, out. True, true. Yeah.
Unless it's some like tiny indie movie that we'll never do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe something there. Okay, let's get into 300, directed by Zack Snyder, as we've talked about. All right, so Sparta, we get this intro and this quick little quote, in quotations, you should say, history lesson. And right out of here, we get this idea of Spartans throwing babies off the cliff because they were undesirable. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which I cannot recommend enough. If you like the newer style of Assassin's Creed that's more like action RPG and you're interested in ancient Greece, Assassin's Creed Odyssey takes place during the Peloponnesian War. It's awesome. You can choose to be an Athenian or a Spartan, like to support which side in there, because you are like a Spartan, and not to spoil what the story is, but it has to do with babies thrown off cliffs. So this right here, the biggest thing to understand about the Spartans, okay, and this is across the board, Spartans did not keep written records. They did not write anything down, because that's some gay Athenian shit. Like the Athenians, those nerds and man are boy lovers, as they say here, which, spoiler alert, they all touched boys, they all diddled boys, all like ancient Greece, all the Greeks in that sense would do it. See, there's in that sense again, see? Catch myself there. And so because they didn't write all this stuff down, so much of what we quote know from Sparta comes from mainly Athens and Athenian historians, and they hated Sparta.
Yeah.
So obviously to show how barbaric they are, they would say, oh my God, this militaristic society, they throw babies off of cliffs because they were under, oh my God, these barbarians, this is dehumanizing.
Right.
So massive grain of salt with almost anything from Spartan, quote, historical record.
That's so interesting that they wouldn't want to write their own records down.
Yeah, they, like their laws and everything, they just didn't write it down.
No, it's just all up here.
But that's what, like, I'm jokingly thinking, like, were they just so anti-intellectual in that sense that they were like, it's gay and womanly to write
to
stuff
write
down. And again, I keep saying, like, it's gay. The whole notion of our idea of homosexuality is lost on, again, a pre-Christian society, because so much of it ours comes from, like, you know, a Judeo-Christian kind of thing. And so with them, like, yeah, they all kind of liked boys.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit sus to me.
It is. All right, so the next thing in here we have is, and I always feel like I'm mispronouncing this, the Agoge.
Yes, the Agoge, yes.
The Agoge, okay. This was the Spartan ritualistic or regimented, if you will, training, education for military and all that. And again, from what we know in there, is it was fucking brutal. Like it says in here about stealing and everything like that, you were encouraged to steal, but if you got caught, you were harshly punished, not because you stole, but because you failed and got caught.
And you got caught, God, so it's like Assassin's Creed. You have to learn how to pickpocket and stuff.
And they throw them out, and it's a survival of the fittest. And it was like all Spartan boys did it, apparently, except the firstborn of these two royal families.
Oh, of course.
Because they would take over, and they didn't want anything happening to them. But otherwise,
of course,
every Spartan boy went through it.
It sounds like I went into this movie. Obviously, I've seen this movie so many times, but I wasn't aware of how accurate it was in terms of. Obviously, this is a movie about the Spartans, and I don't know how much of it was made up and how much of it was just for the story and for the film. That sounds pretty awful.
Yeah, no, that's awful. And that was a, quote, real thing. And like I said, there's so much of this that I'm absolutely not an expert on. It's just from taking the class and doing the basic stuff in there. And I was wondering if they were going to show, because it's like the 300 Spartans. And it wasn't just 300 Spartans. It was 300 Spartans and thousands of others. And they did show them, the Arcadians.
Yes, those guys, like, that come along and help,
Yeah, and I was like, okay, which he instantly just gets onto them. What are you, Oh, blacksmith. You, I can't remember. I have it written down what they are.
What is your profession?
What is your, and again, that's another meme in there. Yeah. Spartan, but it's just, he's just, oh, they're not soldiers. He's like, I have more soldiers than you. It's like, dude, they're coming to help you, dick.
I know. He's being such a dick. Like, yeah, he's so arrogant.
Arrogant, dude. Like, you're the one that wouldn't go against whatever those other people are. All right, so we get this Persian envoy with the skulls of some losers. And this is the first thing, looking at it, I'm like, okay, this is kind of badass that he has this almost like a chain of these skulls with the crowns fused to them of the previous kings that they've conquered.
And he just strolls in holding these guys up in the head. It's quite threatening.
Oh, of course. Very intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't sure what this guy's intentions were, but we learned that he's just the messenger.
He's an envoy, diplomatic envoy, which he's like, you have to protect me. And it's like, yeah, dude, no, we don't.
Not here.
You're coming to conquer us. What do we give a shit? Like, you're going to...
Exactly.
We're going to fight you. You're going to kill us all anyway. What do we care about killing a diplomat or something? Mm-hmm. But all right, here we go. King Leonidas, played by Gerard Butler.
Yep, the Scottish Spartan.
Scottish Spartan. All I think about...
Braveheart.
No, it's Shrek. I think of like Shrek, and Mike Myers is just this really bad, almost like Gerard Butler. And all I think about is Gerard Butler doing Shrek now.
Yes. And then William Wallace being in Spartans. Yeah.
Gerard Butler was a decent age. I tried to look up, but I think I got distracted. How was he not in Braveheart?
Why was he not in Braveheart? Yeah, like, exactly.
A small role, but maybe because... I can't remember how old he was in this movie. I think he's like late 20s. It's almost 30.
One?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he'd been around, and I kept thinking, yeah, why wasn't he? But maybe he was just a bit too young. Couldn't get, I guess not every Scottish actor could have been in there. And it was 11 years before this. But he was in Phantom of the Opera in 2003 or 2004, I think. That's the first movie I've seen him in.
Okay. My big film that I know him from is, what's it called? He did like a president film where like he protects the president and the president's attacked.
Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like four of those films. And I don't
know
why.
Did you say that was the first? Oh, because you saw that before this?
I feel like the Olympus series is like the main one that I know him from. Okay. Apart from this. I knew this all the time, but like more recently, I know Gerard Butler from Olympus Has Fallen. Which is so sad. He's not actually done that many films.
I remember he was in the movie Gamer that apparently is just dreadful.
Really?
Yeah, it's like an IRL battle royale where if you die in real life, you die in the game, you die in real life kind of thing.
Oh, God.
I think
right,
that's what
okay.
it was. It sounds terrible, which means we have to cover it.
It does sound terrible.
It sounds dreadful. I remember he did a romantic comedy also with somebody. Oh, he was in Reign of Fire.
He's in P.S. I Love You. Oh my God, that is really sad. Yeah.
Okay.
The first thing I know him from is the Lara Croft movie.
I was about to say,
he's in Lara Croft. Yeah.
Lara Croft's The Cradle of Life.
Cradle of Life. He's so good.
Dracula 2000, Tale of the Mummy, Tomorrow Never Dies. Oh, okay. He's been in some dreadful movies. He was in Tomorrow Never Dies in 97. He could have been a Braveheart. But yeah,
I didn't realize he was in not the reboot, but there is a sequel to 300 in 2014. Which I never saw. It's called Rise of an Empire. He's in it.
Yeah, Eva Green. I think at the very beginning, it leads off from the end of this battle. Because that, I remember, that's about the battle. It's like a naval battle of Salamis, which I think is what actually ended the Persian invasions. From that moment on, there was no more. Like, I think that was it. Because I always heard that that's the one, that naval battle is what, quote, saved Europe from, you know, the East or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's what that one's mainly about. Athens. I think it was like Athenians, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was after the
law-abiding citizen as well. That's great.
Oh, that's right. Jamie Foxx?
That is really good. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Jamie Foxx is in that, yeah. Right.
Well, stay tuned for Gerard Butler because I can't stand him. I think he's terrible.
Oh, come on.
But he's perfect for this movie. This is what we need him in.
Yeah, true.
Just stuff
true.
Like this. So he asks this Persian envoy, and we will get to the Persians' representation when we get to Xerxes, how they look and everything, because it was obviously was very controversial. Even at the time, it was controversial. If it happened today, it would be a downright... It wouldn't happen today. Like, that's one of the things that changes is they would not have been represented like this. But before that, he asked for earth and water, which I'd never heard of, but apparently that was a thing the Persians did, and that was the tribute. They come in to ask for earth and water. You kneel, you give them a tribute, and then that's it.
So that's them essentially giving over like their lands and their
Yeah,
people, I guess,
pretty
is
much.
just like a symbol of that.
A symbol of like, yeah, vassal, that you're
Yes.
subservient to them.
But he refused.
He refuses and he kicks him into this bottomless pit.
We get the iconic meme where he is doing his big speech about Spartans and then he turns to his wife and she gives him the nod of approval and then he gets the kick down the hole.
I saw the most boomer meme because I was looking up 300 memes and one of them was your married friend asking his wife for a night out. And just looks back and she's like, she's yeah, like, my blessing. I was like, God.
It's really similar to House of the Dragon did it very subtly where Daemon looks to Rhaenyra every now and then and she gives him, it's not, you wouldn't even notice it, I think, if you blinked. You know, where he chops the guy's head off in the middle of the courtroom, like she gives him the most subtle, like, do it. And
but
he's chop.
At least with that, she's the one in power. You know, that's like an actual asking for permission that he would need. Mm-hmm. This is more like, is this guy whipped? Does he need permission? Oh, and that's another thing, too. And I'm glad you brought that up here. Again, for what we know, Spartan women had a hell of a lot more rights than Athenian women, and they could actually own land.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, because in Athens there was a democracy and people could vote, but obviously only free men could vote. Women couldn't vote, slaves couldn't vote, or anything like that. And so Spartan women did actually enjoy a lot better lives, if you will, for freedoms, we should say, than Athens.
Yeah, we love that for them. And I think she says it's because only Spartan women give birth to real men.
And that's,
love
and
that
that's
for her.
Yeah, and that's just kind of a good thing, too, is because Sparta is this militaristic, quote as we much as we can, in an oligarchy, which is what it is, it's a meritocracy where it's we have our kings and we have all that, but if you're a soldier and you're better than someone, the family in that doesn't matter. It's you're better than them, there it is. And so for women to do it, it's like, let's not get crazy out of here. We're not going to give them equal or anything like that. They're not going to go fighting like with us, but they would be trained in all of this stuff as well. And so it was it was much more equal. And it was that they realized the importance of these are having the children. They are also raising the children, that it should not be. You would think it'd be so much more misogynistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're right to keep the women on side if they want the children to be good and healthy.
Athens, so much more. So Leonidas goes to Skyrim to visit Robert the Bruce's dad. And get this E4's blessing for war. And again, if you've played Skyrim, there's these shout on the mountain, like these men of this mountain that you go up, and they're, I can't remember their fucking names. I should have wrote that down, where you do the shouts, like the dragon shouts. And so as soon as I saw this, I was like, well, that looks like Skyrim. And then these leopard, like these disfigured people are just like, oh, that's like Robert the Bruce's dad.
Oh, shit, yes. I couldn't think who you meant there, but now it's come back to me. Yes, Braveheart. He is awful. He's the worst.
Yeah, and these people are kind of the worst, too. And this was another group. So I looked up, God, I looked at these E4s. It's a real, like, type of a group of men and all that. There are so many. The Spartan society, again, is an oligarchy. There was, I want to say, they always had a king, sometimes two kings. And then they had, like, a council of elders that was, I think, maybe 6 to 8 or something like that. And that's who would basically run everything. Like, it wasn't just the king being able to do whatever. There were people at the top. But there were so many other groups underneath that were like their Senate and other things. And I could not fucking figure it out. And I got way too confused and bailed.
That's how I got whenever Leonidas leaves later on. And then there's this council of people. And even though she's the queen and they've talked earlier about how the women are important in the society, they just aren't listening to her at all. There's no respect there at all. So I wasn't sure how it all worked either.
If I remember correctly, I would say that this movie maybe does overstate the power. Well, actually, it doesn't, because he doesn't even take them to, he doesn't take the army to war,
he doesn't.
Because without
that's
the blessing.
That's his little loophole. Yeah.
And they tell it, because that's what I got out of it too. Because I said, oh, Spartan king, they are like a medieval Europe kingdom where the guy has all power. And that was not it in Sparta.
No. Yeah, because you're right, he couldn't take the army. He had to take 300 people with
on
him.
On a walk.
on
a walk,
walk,
as he says,
Yeah, and like Lena Headey's character, I can't remember her name. She doesn't have any power once he's gone, especially.
Yep.
So council's where it's at.
We hear a bunch here about Greek. and about Greece and all of that. Okay. They ask this oracle, and this oracle here says they're going to fall. All Greece will fall. And this is where time to say this Greece as we know it did not exist back then.
Yeah, like, I didn't think so.
It is not a country. It is not a people. You know, we consider it a civilization, ancient Greek civilization, which has all these tribes and city states is the main thing that they were called. They share a culture, but there is not a common identity or nationality. Now, again, I could be wrong. If somebody who's actually well versed in that, please correct me. But I don't believe they did unite to fight like they did. But I don't think it would have been Spartan and Athens getting together and saying, we need to unite as Greeks to fight the Persians. I think it simply would have been, we have a common enemy who's coming to kill us. We have a common a culture. Again, it's not an identity. Spartan and Athens hated each other, were completely different, had tons of wars. And so that what we know now of being Greek, from what I've gathered, it's not until the Roman conquest. Once the Romans conquered the Greek city-states and everything, they then lumped them into Greece. And then Greece became Greek because they didn't give a shit. They're like, y'all are all the same. You're all fucking Greek to us. And so that's
so you are now Greece.
And that's where from that moment on, you don't really see Sparta anymore at all. It's Greek, it's Athens, because it becomes this more monolithic culture, even though it's not exactly the same. It's more monolith after the Roman conquest, not tribalized, I should say.
Yeah, maybe they couldn't find a way to make that like roll off the tongue with the oracle. So just say Greece.
I think it's just easier to say that the Persians are coming. Again, it's not a documentary. It's easier to understand that, you know, people aren't coming to help them, that this is just the Spartans to do it, that Athens, as he called them there, he called them boy lovers, those Athenian boy lovers, as if Spartan wasn't boy lovers, in which, again, yes, they were.
I hated this whole part where he's like licking her face and stuff. It's absolutely grim. And they, you know, they take all the most beautiful women in Sparta to go and live amongst them as oracles. And because they all have the needs of men, even though they're these old wretches. And I was like, I see where this is going. I don't like it.
And they were virgins. The Vestal virgins. Crap, was that Roman? Or is that Greek? Romans took a bunch of shit from Greece and like made it their own. But the Vestal virgins, I think, I don't know, but I know a lot of them, it would be a virgin because they'd be unspoiled women. And they'd be like, oh, they're unspoiled. Let's take them to the old men.
Nice.
All right, so these 300 have gathered, and all with born sons to carry on their name.
You skipped the part where we saw naked Gerard Butler.
I did? Maybe.
Yeah. There is this whole scene with him and his wife in bed, and the very first shot of the scene is just him standing looking out the window, just butt naked.
Man, I have a blank.
How did you forget that?
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, and ends with them. They have like they sleep together, and she's like, "What would a free man do?" But it just starts out with this shot of him with his arm up against the wall. It's just naked.
That whole scene does not come to mind at
really?
All. What was I? When was this, Thursday when I watched it? What the hell was I doing?
Yeah, all I wrote is naked Gerard Butler shot. Thank you, movie. It's there for.
And if you're gonna get into shape like all of them did, yeah, you might as well get naked. Show that off.
I can't believe I wrote in capital letters, the bodies are just insane.
Yep.
It's not, I don't even mean it in like a pervy way. I'm just like, it's so impressive.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous how good they all look.
Yeah. It's one of those, all right, I got in this movie, Spartan. Okay. Yeah. You're not going to wear a shirt the entire movie.
And you're going to be wearing tiny pants.
You're going to be basically wearing underwear. So you've got 6 months to eat, you know, 50 carbs a day to work out like crazy. I mean,
you're going to be shot in slow motion, greased up, and it's all thighs and abs. It's ridiculous.
So greasy. Yeah. I think it almost feels like it shouldn't need to be said. Of course, the Greeks obviously wore armor. But there are instances.
I think I wrote that down somewhere to ask you.
But there are things where you see a movie will have armor and they'll have abs on the armor. And people are like, that's blah, blah. I believe there is actually Spartan armor. Not just ancient armor, but some of them was Spartan armor that actually had like abs on.
Abs painted on. That's amazing.
Like,
I love
but
it.
Like, not painted on, like carved
but like molded into it.
Yeah, like molded into the actual armor. So it's like, hey, even 2,500 years ago, they knew what was up.
They wanted abs, yeah.
they knew that that would look better and intimidate. We get to come back with your shield or on it.
What's
you know
that
what that
mean?
Means?
Not
you know
really.
Means?
I guess it kind of, I thought it meant like maybe being carried on it. I don't
yeah,
really understand.
Died. Dead.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't come back with your shield, meaning you were victorious, or come back dead.
Yeah.
Like, don't come back without your shield, meaning you surrendered.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's the whole thing they repeat so many times, is that we don't walk away, we don't surrender.
Yeah.
It's fight or die. Yeah.
I remember it was a Gwent voice line on one of the, not the Twersec, it was one of the Skellige cars, when it says, buy my shield or on it.
That's cool, isn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, it is. Like, yeah, and that thing here is just come back with your
shield.
And this is wife telling husband, come back with your shield or on it.
Spartan wife. Let's go.
Spartan wife. Also love that he just, you can't show emotion. Like, the whole thing in here is he can't be weak and show emotion. It's like he wants to tell his wife he loves her, but he can't.
He's like, see ya.
And like the narrator's just, oh, he you can tell he loves her, but we're not going to say it.
No, there's no place for softness in Sparta.
No place for softness there. And it is, I just find it so funny, because that's the toxic masculinity. That's the toxic masculinity. When a man, fellas, is it gay to love your wife?
Exactly, you,
is it gay to tell your wife you love her as you're going off to die in battle?
Yeah. If you're going off to war, is it gay to tell your wife you love her? Yeah, dude, you can't do that.
And every Spartan's like, yeah,
yeah.
It's
boy
trick
lover.
Question. Yeah, boy lover. No. God, oh, that's good.
Stupid.
So, the previously mentioned, they meet up with a couple thousand Arcadians, and he proceeds to instantly insult them, as we talked about.
Oh my God, yeah. I do love the what is your profession scene.
Yes.
I love the way he sets them up. He's like, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? It's like,
what
I'm
was
a
the first
blacksmith.
One? Yeah, the first one was like a sculptor, I think.
Yes, there's like a sculptor, a blacksmith, a farmer.
Yeah.
And then he goes, Spartans, what is your profession?
And they just do the hoo.
Yeah.
And he's like, I
brought
more
shoulders than you did.
More shoulders than you did. Yeah, more than you did. Like, hey, dick.
I loved it.
Yeah, then that cadence should be like, all right, we'll see you. All right,
well,
fight on your
enjoy.
Own.
Enjoy. Yeah.
Yeah. Fight on your own there. This tree of the dead is also pretty badass.
Oh.
That tree
yes.
of the bodies. Yeah.
Yeah. I was writing down, like, what is this? Like, I didn't understand. And then you kind of see it all. Yeah. You're like, it's like branching. It's so grim. So grim.
But this is, I can see where, having watched this in 2006. I would look at Zack Snyder and think, fuck, like, it is like, it's something you haven't seen. It's so unique. It is visionary to where I would give him whatever to do. Cause then we'll see that wall later that's built in with the bodies.
Yeah.
And again, how they do it. It's just, okay. Cause a big thing I've heard about him, again, I've not seen enough of his movies to accurately say this, but I can see that is, and especially, oh, that Rebel Moon movie that came out, I've heard is just,
oh,
you know,
I've heard that's trash.
Okay, you know, that was his Star Wars movie. He wrote a Star Wars, and it got rejected by Disney.
Oh.
And this is it, and he changed the names. Yeah, this is his Star Wars movie. Yeah, that's why
they've
looks...
already got a part two coming as well.
Yeah, it's in Netflix. Yeah, he's got a Netflix deal, so that was already going to come out. I haven't heard anything good about it.
No, I haven't. I've heard it's boring.
I think at this point right now, though, he got so bloated. And this is the criticism I've heard. I shouldn't say I think that. It's criticism I've heard. Is that he's gotten so bloated with the visionary stuff. And that kind of, I think, also happened maybe with Man of Steel or Superman, Batman, and all that he was doing there. Was, this is excellent vision, but there is actually compelling and interesting story. The characters aren't that deep. But you don't need to be deep about a movie about armies and battles and all that. Like, we can, you know, you have some of the characters. Characters are shallow, but enough to know, oh, there's a father and a son. All right, well, that son's as good as that. Well, no, they're going to die anyway. If you know anything about the, you know, they're pretty much all going to die anyway. But with this, it's very simple. Invading massive army, quote, ragtag, if you will, underdogs. That's all you need. And so I think with, like you said there, I think he just got into vision and he can't write. Maybe not even direct. Maybe if he was like just the cinematographer Or if he directed, maybe had a co-director where he would do the vision, he would do the cinema, well, he would work with the cinematographer to do the setup, and then somebody else would definitely write the movies, but as well as maybe direct, not the action. And I can totally see that argument.
I think especially as well, because like 300 is based on this graphic novel collection. So he's got the story there. He's got like the writing to base it off of. And then he's done this amazing job of adapting it into a movie while still keeping that kind of graphic novel artistry about it. And that's what I love about this, is that it's so, it's such a different art style that I've never seen in a movie before. And it looks like a graphic novel in a lot of places. But then like I said, I haven't seen Rebel Moon, but I've just heard that it's so like just nothing, like meh.
Yeah. The kick into the bottomless pit is pretty much that from the graphic novel. Like I saw a thing, put it side by side, like as it goes to the slow-mo, and it's like, okay, like that's,
good job.
Yeah, that's maybe what he should have done, but...
He also did Watchmen, which apparently was quite good, which is also like novel or DC...
Yes, the same, Frank Miller. I think it's Frank Miller.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's... I totally forgot about that, which is crazy because I have seen that. We may need to watch that sometime because...
I would like to.
That is very complicated for me. When I first saw that a little bit after it came out, I really enjoyed it. But this was before Marvel and before superheroes became so omnipresent, I guess you want to call it, in culture and everything. Mm-hmm. So this was different because it was so dark, and it's fucking dark. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That movie has about the best intro. The intro is unbelievable. They play
I think I watched it when it came out.
Yeah, you know, we can definitely cover that sometime because I loved it when it came out. I watched it again maybe like 5 or 6 years ago and was like, oh, I was such an early 20s, mid-20s boy. Not a nerd, but just like a mid-20s guy of that time especially. That'll be a good one to revisit. We need to put that down to eventually do.
Maybe we need to do like a superhero month, but not Marvel.
Not Marvel. We can do Marvel, just make fun of it.
Yeah, or we can do Catwoman again.
Oh, God, no. No, never. Go check out that Patreon if you want to see us die. Go insane. So this massive Spartan fleet is on the shores, and surprise, Michael Fassbender shows up.
I know. I totally forgot he was in this film.
I didn't know. I looked, I'm like, that guy looks really familiar. Yeah. I had to look him up. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, of course that's fucking him.
Of course it's Michael Fassbender. Yeah, I love seeing him in this.
Yeah, this had to be one of his... For like early, I remember Band of Brothers, I think was his like first ever thing.
He's in that too.
One line, I think, in the first episode. Yeah. Maybe like a couple lines. Yeah. I think that might have been the first thing he ever did.
Very good.
Yeah. So he couldn't have done too much before this. Oh, this is where we see the bodies. The fallen Persians used this mortar.
Grim.
Oh, the mortar. Yeah. As this other envoy comes up. And again, like, he just strolls up to these Spartans building this wall, and he's just like, starts talking shit.
They're so oblivious to what's going on in front of them at this moment. They don't really understand the people they're going up against, I think.
Yeah, they're just so cocky, I guess. And there's just these little Spartans. So we get the line. I think this is Michael Fassbender's character, Artiamis, or I can't remember. Fuck, I should have wrote that down. Okay, Ediamis or something? I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
But he talks about the arrows blocking out the sun, and he says, "We shall fight in the shade."
Oh.
Again, a badass quote that is actually attributed to a guy named, if I pronounce it correctly, Deinakis.
Okay.
So that's an actually attributed quote to a Spartan from there.
Oh, and then we shall fight in the shade.
Then we shall fight in the shade. I know, it's badass. Like,
that's so badass. Like, it's so cool. There's so many good lines in this film.
It is. And then we will see it at the end a couple times in the shade.
Favorite ones is where they go, "Immortals? Oh, well, we shall put their name to the test."
Test.
Oh, my God.
Henry Cavill movie, Immortals.
Oh, shit. Okay, I haven't seen that one.
Nah, I heard it was terrible. And the Immortals, when we get to them, were an actual... It's complicated. They were an actual fighting unit of Persia, but we don't have... There's nothing... We don't have anything that shows, like, these are the Immortals, this is it.
Okay,
We have mosaics and murals that were like, that's probably them. Or we think that's them. But they were basically almost a personal bodyguard, elite fighting to the Persian kings. And the Persian, I always forget how to say it. Persia, this is the Anachomiad Empire. We just call it the Persian Empire, but their actual name is like, yeah, because obviously I can't say it. But skulking, kind of following them, Ephialtes, is that how you say it? Ephialtes? A Spartan.
Yeah, I just call him Effie.
Effie, there you go. A Spartan born whose parents fled Sparta so he would not be thrown off the cliff. He is disfigured. He cannot raise his shield and thus cannot be a part of the phalanx.
Yeah, and whenever Leonidas explains this to him, I think he's very kind about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's very understanding. He says, I completely admire your spirit, and if you want to help, you can do other things. But because of this reason, you can't protect your fellow Spartan, so it won't work. And I was like, that's fine. That makes
Is
perfect
it,
sense.
Though? Is it?
That makes perfect sense.
You're telling a Spartan, a guy who wants to fight as a Spartan, mm-hmm. and wants to die as a Spartan, which is what they all want. You just told him, oh, why don't you clear the battlefield of the dead and bring water like some mm-hmm. fucking woman, right? Absolutely. Like, literally, you can see him be like, are you fucking crazy? Mm. Like,
but it's all about protecting your fellow brother in Sparta.
You're right.
You
had me in the first part. So he would say, like, you can't be part of the phalanx. But at this point, if this motherfucker wants to fucking fight and die and he can thrust, just be like, hey, we're going to be in this phalanx. You can hang back outside of it. You can chill.
Like the Arcadians
and
stuff.
You can go with the fucking Arcadians. Okay, but you can't do that, though, because he's not Spartan. Like, he has to fight with Spartans.
Okay.
And I'd be like, you can hang back. And when we go one-on-one, which kind of annoyed me, because I'm like, oh, my God, they're actually fighting in a fucking phalanx. They're actually tight shoulders, which is what all fucking combat was until basically guns, which is what drove me fucking crazy about Braveheart, when everyone just charges in there, which is so fucking stupid. Okay, I digress in that sense. All of it is fighting so you don't break ranks. That's the point of like a cavalry charge. A heavy, which they didn't show in Braveheart, I'll give it that. A heavy cavalry charge was designed to break the ranks, and then you can start picking people off one by one because they're not in formation while you are in formation. And so when they get to them, when they break out and they start going one-on-one fighting, I'm like, okay, it's badass for the movie, but...
Yeah.
I know. But it looked badass. But here,
cool seeing them fight in the formation, though. Like, I feel like I've not seen that many films that do that. We saw a little bit in Game of Thrones, which I really liked.
Battle of the Bastards.
Oh, so good. So, so good. But instead of just, you're right, instead of just people charging at each other, like seeing their formation where they all heave ho at the same time and stab, like, it's so cool seeing that choreographed like that.
God, I want to watch Battle of the Bastards now.
As much as I love the moment where they break rank and we get this. We'll talk about it at the time when we get to it. But the formation's very cool to see.
Yeah, and hitting on Battle of the Bastards, what I also thought was cool there, spoiler alerts, at the end when the Eerie cavalry show up and they attack them, what was awesome about that was they didn't just go straight into them. They actually like enveloped around them. And I'm like, holy shit, that was actually like accurate of what they would do to sweep around instead of just going through everybody and hitting the only people you're there to save.
I need to watch that.
Yeah, but back with Effie here, I would just say, hey, you can't be a part of the phalanx. Hang back, do whatever. But like, why would you fucking take all the soldiers you can? So fuck you, Leonidas. You deserve to get betrayed.
Oh, can't say that about Gerard Butler.
Yeah, oh, I can. Go over there like a woman. Bring us water. No. Okay, we get another fucking badass line. And this comes back to an actual history. When they say, lay down your weapons. And he yells, come and take them. Yeah.
And he goes, Spartan.
Come and take them.
Oh, so, my God.
Yeah.
So badass.
Yeah, and this was, I guess, I didn't know it was called this, but I guess Molen Labe or Molen Labe. I guess that means come and take them. I guess it's Greek, ancient Greek in that sense of where it comes from. And so this also Texas Revolution. Then the Texas Revolution, there was a flag of a cannon where these people were told, hey, the Mexican army told me how to surrender this and it come and take it. And so there's this white flag with a black cannon on there.
Yes, you've told me about that before.
And it says come and take it. Unfortunately, like libertarian and conservative shitheads have like co-opted it. Like the Gadsden flag, the snake flag, don't tread on me and whatnot.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, it's been co-opted by shitheads. Otherwise, it's a pretty badass flag.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
But Persians come and get them. I'm obsessed.
Yeah. Yep. That's awesome. Again, I love how we kind of did there. We just kind of talked about already. But the one-on-one, you know, they're fighting in formation, they break, and they do the one-on-one. And again, it's Hollywood bullshit. But at least here, this is awesome-looking Hollywood bullshit.
Oh, my God. This is the part of the film that I can go and watch. Like, sometimes if I'm bored, I'll just Google this.
It went on for a while.
Yeah, he kind of just kept.
I thought he was going to go all the way through the whole Spartan or the whole Persian army.
That's what I like, though. Like, it's a big one shot, you know, slow motion, then it speeds up sometimes. And it's just perfect. And, you know, the last bit where the guy just bounces off him and it's just the ab shot, the abs, the thighs, that's it. And it just bounces off the side of him. I don't even know what to say about this apart from I could watch it over and over again. And it's just like incredible. This whole shot. It's so, so well done.
Yep. This is where the cinematography comes in. And so we get to the movie poster where they're pushing the Persians off the cliff. And again, it's just fucking awesome.
It's so cool. You just see them all suddenly realize, oh shit, we can't break this wall. And they just have to back off the cliff. That's the only way they can go.
They back them off the cliff and then the arrows blot out the sun.
Yes. And they all tuck tail and laugh as the arrows rain down upon them. And they just cackle.
Yeah. And then, do you remember how he got rid of when he takes his sword and just cuts them off?
So cool.
I know.
So cool.
Because she's like, oh, these are kind of in the way. And he just, whoosh. I'm like, God
and
damn it.
And now he's got
Gerard
a shield
Butler.
With spikes in it.
Now he's got a spiky shield for when that is needed.
I miss one of my favorite lines where the Persians are running at them in their formation. And Gerard Butler's giving them their pep talk. And he goes, hold, hold. And he's like, give them nothing, but take from them everything. I was like, I'm like screaming at my TV at this point.
He does. He shouts so much.
He must have had a sore throat filming.
Yeah,
this.
And like I wonder the this is Sparta, because again, it's not like he's talking and it builds into something, and then it's nothing, and then
silent.
Sparta, and it's just like, how many times did he have to do that? And again, to do that and not feel stupid, like in front of everybody, because you know we're watching a movie and the music can swell and we can feel the moment coming in. But him, he's just fucking probably got a blue screen around, you know, maybe there's a little bit, you know, there's a set, everything there. Mm-hmm. And he's just like screaming like a lunatic on stage.
Actors
or on
just
set.
Must have no cringe, because I could not do it. I would cringe.
I truly think that is the number one thing to be an actor is the stage fright. And it's not necessarily
cringe.
I shouldn't even say stage fright. It's the stage cringe. Like it's
the
ability to do anything on the drop of a hat, have the confidence to do it, and understand, like, if it doesn't work, that it doesn't matter.
You're going to be given notes, and
you'll just
do it again.
Yeah, people are like, oh, it's like, no, you have to do it. But I'm saying, like, even, like, in high school or college, on a play of doing something and realizing, oh, that's embarrassing. Oh, well. Like, shrugging it off.
I don't know why, but I always think of Michelle Fairley, who plays Catelyn Stark in Game of Thrones, and whoever else was in this scene with her said that every time they rehearsed, she did it at 11. Mm-hmm. So they're saying like the Red Wedding scene where she is like screaming and, you know, she has the other guy's daughter by the hair. And they were saying, you know, when we rehearse, sometimes we just speak the lines and we don't
run through them.
We're just doing like a line read. But she does it all the way up to 11 every single time. And I always think, like, you just cut and it's like, okay, do it again. And it's like, roll it back and just do it again. And I just say, how do you go through that time and time again and like not cringe?
Yeah. And to me, with where it becomes emotional.
Yeah,
where you have
she's
to
like
cry,
screaming and crying. Yeah,
where you're doing it, where your voice is cracking. Like I think at that point it would be all right. Cut five.
Yeah,
you know, take a five.
You need five to collect yourself,
and then build back up. And then it's all right. Hey, we got 30 seconds. Okay, and then because you'll see that behind the scenes, you'll see them getting into the character, kind of psyching themselves up. You know, about the 10 to 15, 20 seconds before they actually roll, and something that would be just. I don't know. It's just incredible. And it's why they're fucking pros.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's why they get pitched. Stupid minds of money. I think I would love one day to be able to just be on a set one day and just watch something be filmed and observe it all and see how it all goes down.
But it was like with Django and DiCaprio, when he when mm. he the scene where he breaks, you know, cuts his hand, like yeah. him just yelling and just so much.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do they do that? Like,
I don't know. They keep going, just keep going.
They go and this every he just goes and Jamie Foxx and Christoph Waltz literally just sitting there while while he's going ham. No, I just mean in general, just the scene in general, not cutting of mm-hmm. just like, I don't know. Maybe they only did because that was the take they used.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's, I don't know. Fascinating. The behind the scenes stuff I think would truly be so boring once you're into it. But yes. for someone like yes. us, I think it would be just incredible.
Fascinating. Yeah. To see just, see people do their
all the minutia that goes into it is just wild to make it look that good. We go back to Queen Gorga here. I said for whatever reason, because I don't give a shit about it, but it's setting up this politician pretty much being a traitor.
Yeah. I actually don't know what her name is.
Gorga?
Gorga. I just call her the queen or Cersei, which is, I know, that's bad.
Yeah, I'm trying not to say Gorgon, because that was like Medusa. Medusa was a Gorgon. But it should be, Gorgo.
Gorgo. Okay, I just call her the queen.
Yeah, just call her queen. Call her queen.
Queen.
Queen Cersei. So we cut back to the Spartans and what matters, at least to me. And why is Leonidas eating this apple like some asshole?
It's so cocky, isn't he?
The whole point is you have your villains and your bad guys eating apples because it makes them look like cocky assholes.
Yeah. And we have Leonidas here.
Yeah.
Eating it just like that.
Walking over the dead, and then it's going to go see he has a meeting, a little powwow here with Xerxes, and his lieutenants are just, hey, what if they kill you? He's like, well, then all Greece will fight. So hopefully he does. He basically says he hopes they kill him.
Yeah,
then all of
then
Greece,
everything will go to shit. Yeah.
Or I should agree, Sparta. I mean, like all of Sparta will then rise up to fight them. All right, here we go. King Xerxes, played by Rodrigo Santoro, a Brazilian. And man, could they not make him look any more like a woman?
God, this character design is weird.
It is very weird. The voice shocked me because when I looked at him and he's so effeminate, I was like, oh, of course, because gay, da, da, da. And then his voice is just, I was like, whoa, wait, what? Why is his voice so deep?
And he's huge.
Yes, he is.
Is he meant to be a god or like?
What they call him? They call him like a god king. And
yeah.
I feel like I should have known that again from going. I don't know if it was them. Xerxes, his father was Darius, who did the first invasion of Greece, and it failed. That was the Battle of Marathon, where we get the term marathon from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they ran back from Marathon to Athens. This guy ran, whatever it is, 26 miles and dropped dead. So the legend says. So this is making up for his dad, failed invasion. So I kind of... For 2006, as soon as that came up, I was like, are they going to make any reference to the Iraq war here with Bush and Daddy Bush invading Iraq and then Little Bush invading Iraq? But they didn't. And I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it came in. I was like, I don't know how they could have been there. But yeah, this hugely controversial, even at the time, they call it Iranophobic because Persia, modern day Persia is Iran now, or Iran.
Oh, okay.
And all of these, obviously Iran is not like the United States and does not like people from the United States visiting there, but there are so many fucking, these ancient Persian ruins that are in Iran that I would fucking kill to go see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this right here, the representation here, I think was very clearly done to make them look effeminate. Like just to be like, they're bad. They're women. They look like women. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't think of that at the time, but now that you're saying it, it does make sense. Like, they've put him in loads of jewelry, which I guess at the time probably meant more jewelry than they do now. But
the
like,
piercings all
the
over.
The piercings, and the way he moves. But yeah, the voice is totally random.
I kind of liked it, though.
I loved it. It was badass, but it's like, you're right. When he first speaks, it takes you off guard.
Yeah, I don't enjoy the visuals of the character. But I love the character and I love how he did it in his voice and how he did come off like benevolent because I believed it. Like he wasn't some, which a lot of these ancient conquerors were. It was, you know, going up to the Mongols in the medieval times was we're coming to conquer you. As long as you surrender and pay us tribute, you're good. Like, we don't want to have to fight and kill you. We're not just going to do it. We're not barbarians. But if you don't do it, we're going to kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they do here at this battle.
They do. Yeah, eventually they do.
They do, but they would eventually lose the war, which is why there's still apparently like a Greece that we know of it. So Freeman, there's a lot of talk here, and I truly do believe this was a product of 2006 in this immediate post-9/11 world. There is so much talker of free men standing against the tyrants. And this is another thing to hit on here. There was a group in Sparta called the Helots or the Helots. They were slaves. They were subservient. There you go. Subservient, tied to the land. These class of people outnumbered Spartans by anywhere from 7 to 10 to 1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for every Spartan... for every Spartan citizen, there were 7, 8, 9, 10 times as many Helots.
And there's nothing... They're not mentioned in this film, I don't think.
No, they're not, because they're slaves. And you can't talk about free men standing up to tyrants and all this stuff here in this movie and mention that so many...
That they have loads of slaves.
Yeah, that their army, the Spartan army, that again is not here, would largely be consisted of these slaves and these Helots. And not slave, again, not the chattel slavery that we know of like in the United States. Like that type of slavery. It was this is where I get to step in the minefield. It was a more humane slavery, but they were, and that's what I'm saying. I don't even want to use like slave as the term.
Yeah.
Think of it almost like, like a serf. Think of it more like a serf. They're tied to the land.
Okay.
A subservient tied to the land. So they're quote slaves, but it's not the slavery that we think of like in Django.
Right. Okay. So it's a different type completely. Yeah. Actually,
but again, it's not brought up here because you need to talk about free men standing against.
We need to talk about free. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to bring in this.
Standing against this overwhelming invading army.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
is definitely not more like the United States than center there. But okay. So now we get the immortals and
the Persian warrior elite.
How do you think they look?
Badass.
I know. These fucking samurai looking masks and these double swords on the back. I'm like, these fucking ninjas or some shit?
Yeah, but no, it's insane.
They look like samurais. Obviously, they did not look like this in real life. This is definitely some kind of Japanese. There's a name for that mask, that like samurai mask.
Yes,
I can't remember.
I don't know what it's called either, but I recognize it.
Yeah, and so the immortals were this elite fighting force, pretty much personal bodyguards to the Persian kings. But I don't think, or I could not find anything that had them fully on record, like we know of, like the Praetorian Guard from the Roman Empire. So they were there, but we can't even, we don't know what the hell they dress like.
Mm-hmm. I love when you say random history words and it's like a reference from a game that I've played.
Praetorian Guard?
Yeah, there's Praetorian in Mass Effect.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. One of the enemies is like, one of the big enemies is called a Praetorian.
Oh, okay. Are they really like tough, hard to kill?
Yeah, yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah. The Praetorian Guard was the elite Roman, like, personal bodyguard to the emperors.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I think they started off as like Vikings who would come all the way down. The Vangarian Guard. Vangarian Guard. Okay. I might be confusing those two. But I think maybe the Vangarian, something turned into Praetorians. But it was something like that. So yeah, that is something in there, the Praetorians. Mm-hmm. I got from a game. Yeah. All right. These elephants.
I didn't like it.
They show them falling into the... why do they got to hit the water? What the
I
fuck?
I know. Yeah, this is the moment where the Persians start sending everything they've got against
the rhinos,
the
armed
Spartans,
rhinos,
the rhinos, and that was cool.
Yes.
That was cool, the way he takes down the rhino.
I don't think there is any case of rhinos ever being used.
Also, they were massive. Like, they were much bigger than normal rhinos.
In combat. But Persia, I believe, did have war elephants. Carthage, again, Hannibal, elephants over the Alps, legendary fighting the Roman Empire. So there were use of war elephants, not just in Lord of the Rings.
Those ones are pretty big as well.
Yeah, and that's what the elephants, I think is what they call them.
Oliphants,
there it is. Tim Oliphant, the actor. Mm-hmm. They just kind of made him real big. Astinos, that's what it is. Astinos is the kid. So the only roll my eyes, like, are you serious? Was here after this battle, and he's in the middle of the field, this Astinos, my son.
Oh no, I hated this so much.
Eye contact. Yes. Okay. They just give a
I love
nod.
you, my son. I'm so proud of
I'm
you.
like, yeah, this is the most telegraphed death, I think, in cinematic history.
It is so annoying.
It's
Like,
so
it's so
dumb. It
frustrating because
is.
we see them, and at the start, this is like the captain. This is like Leonidas's right-hand
Yes.
man.
It's his
And
son. Yeah, I'm for
he's
here.
like,
Yeah.
you're sending in your firstborn son. He's like, yes, I have many other sons that can replace him. He's ready for this. And they don't really have much interaction. And then they finally have this moment where it's like, my son, you know, and then like, oh, my father, I'm proud of you. And he turns and puts his back to the enemy. And then you see the horseman riding in slow
Yeah.
motion. He goes,
No. And the way that it's
no.
shot, it's angled off center to where
Yeah, you know something's
you know
coming.
someone's gonna ride in behind him. I couldn't believe it. It was so egregious.
It's so frustrating. And I don't
Yes.
know if it's meant to be because it's so obvious that it's going to happen, but it's just so annoying. But then my heart breaks for this man, the captain. Like, he
Yeah.
loses his shit. He goes on a Spartan rage moment, totally breaks rank, obviously feels guilty for calling his son's attention away from the rider behind him. And yeah, it's super sad.
Yeah, no.
I
R.I.P.
hated it.
R.I.P. Asinos. But we finally get someone dying. So now the stakes are finally raised.
True. Yeah, we do start to see the Spartans dropping a little bit here because it's been days at this point.
Yeah. All right, so we get Ephialtes sells out the Spartans for everything he desires, but most importantly, he wants a uniform. And I kind of thought that this would be brought up as well. Again, it's representation, all that right there, where this the enemies, the heroes of this movie are very straight, very white men, very masculine. And then the enemies of this movie are all disfigured, or they're not white, so I can see where that would can be a problem. And so with this, I was kind of always on the edge of, I don't like that he was, I don't know if I like that he was deformed. You know what I mean? Because I think in this initial original story, or maybe it was the 300 Spartans, like I don't think that this person, I think this is an actual person that is credited with selling out. I don't think that they were deformed. I shouldn't. Should I be saying a different word?
I don't know,
I
actually.
probably should not be saying deformed, should I?
Maybe he's disfigured,
Disfigured. There you
I
go. God, I
guess.
should not be saying deformed. I'm not good at that. Disfigured. There you go. Mea culpa. My apologies. So disfigured, and I don't. I don't. I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of talking in circles because I don't really
No,
know
I
what I'm
know what
trying
you
to
mean. I
say.
don't really feel it feels like wrong that they
Yeah.
make him this outcast and then he goes on to be the traitor and it's like he's meant to be the bad guy now
See,
and
I like the idea of him being an outcast because, like, he was supposed to be thrown off. And again, maybe this is just the story I would want, or thinking it more of what would be now. It would be, hey, you're disfigured, but you can offer something, and
Yes, you
so
can still be a part of this.
you can still be a part of it. And then you go back and say, maybe we shouldn't be throwing babies off the cliff, you know? Even though I know it was real life, and I'm not saying to change real life. I'm saying from a storytelling perspective, they've changed real life history. We can do that too in a movie. And so with this to show it, one of those, he goes in there. It's a tale, you know, Hollywood is old time itself. He comes in there like, look at this disfigured motherfucker, blah, 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 blah. And then he saves someone's life. And he starts doing things, and you realize, like, this dude is a fucking Spartan. Being a Spartan isn't what you are physically, it's what you are mentally and what you can do. I guess I'm just saying I would have liked that better than the only disfigured person in here being a fucking villain.
The traitor,
The traitor, yeah.
yeah, you're right. I think it would have been a nicer way to round out his story if he ended up saving them in the end
Yeah.
rather than being the one that rats them out.
Yeah. Or just don't make him disfigured, and you still be a traitor or something, but I don't know. Because
Yeah,
like,
we already have one traitor back
yeah, we
in Sparta as
which
well.
that guy, I believe, was not even in the comic book.
Oh,
I
okay.
forgot to mention that. Yeah, the guy that, well, we'll get to there, Queen
Yeah.
Gorga. Yeah, we'll get to what. Oh, that's the next thing up here. So I'm like, the diplomat is a traitor, and does he rape her? Does she let her?
Yeah.
Is it? Does she
It's
let
funny.
herself?
I feel like that's a re I thought about that a lot actually when I watched that scene because obviously like to me I watched that and obviously he's telling her he's coercing her.
There you go. She allows, yeah. because she needs yeah. his support.
Yeah, so yes. she allows it to happen, but in my eyes, it's not consensual.
So he Weinsteins her.
It's very coercive yeah. and threatening in a way. Like he's, you know, bargaining with her. And yeah, and then obviously yeah. the things that he says to her before it happens, you know, is horrific. And, you know,
that end, like when it starts, she's just kind of like looking off and he's just yeah. behind her, like kind of doing like yeah. the licking thing again. I'm just like, oh God, not again. And yeah. I would
it's
admit
horrible.
With those scenes, I was kind of half paying attention. I already said that before. And at the end, I was like, oh no, oh no.
Yeah,
and then,
it's horrific.
And then when they get to their thing, it was, she was expecting him to support her.
Yes. So she was, doing it so that he would help her husband, but obviously it wasn't. I wouldn't say it's like consensual, personally.
No. All right. So the leader of the Acadians, Daxos, informs Leonidas that the goat path is taken and Leonidas tells the Spartans, prepare for glory. And they're glory.
Tonight we dine in hell.
Tonight we dine in hell. And then I saw another meme over there. It was like, tomorrow I'm thinking McDonald's. And it like looks off to the side. I'm like, that is such a 2010 meme. That
yeah, it's so stupid.
It's so stupid, but it's funny.
Yes, it is.
It's just so dumb, but it's just these ancient memes.
Yeah, but we love them.
Yeah, and how have we gone this long without saying this is madness? And this is madness. Because he's saying there, he's like, we're all going to die. It's madness. Mm-hmm. And he's like, nope. Dine in hell. All right.
This is Sparta.
And then we get the captain. My son gave up his life for his country, which again, I don't like the term of country being used in this, but whatever.
Yeah.
And he said his regret is that I did not tell him I loved him. And I'm instantly execute this man for gayness. Loves his son. Boys, what do we think about that?
Fellas, is it gay to love your son?
Is it gay to love your son and regret not telling him you loved him before he was murdered right in front of your eyes?
Before he was decapitated in
before
front of you?
Before he was decapitated in front of you. Jeez.
Oh, God. But then it pulls it back around pretty quickly. He goes, yeah, now my heart is filled with hate. And Leonidas goes, good.
Yeah. He's like, well, we're about to die, so that's pretty nice. Pretty nice.
But
there.
Leonidas does send one guy back.
The narrator.
He says, you have to go and tell the story. Yeah, yeah. Because I think he has something wrong with his eye. And then he's like, you can go back. You can go back, tell the story, take my wife's necklace with you, and tell everyone what happened here.
He got something in his eye, like
some dust.
Some dirt in his eye, and he's like, disfigured. You're out of here. Get the fuck out of here before we throw you off this cliff. Get the fuck.
What's that in your face?
Yeah, what's that? He's just eyes twitching. Get the fuck out.
He's like, my eyes fine. I swear.
It's fine. Get him. No, this I can't remember the guy's
Get him,
name.
Boys.
This guy was Faramir in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
he was. We have not done any with him in it because he was in the Two Towers. He was also in a previous movie we've done. I think it was the first movie that we did since we turned this into a movie podcast.
Shut up. Let me remember. What is he called? What's his name? Wenham?
David Wenham, yeah. He's probably going to be...
I know what it is.
What is it?
Van Helsing.
Yes, there you go. Well done.
Yes.
He was Friar Carl, the friar who fucks.
I remember that.
I remember he like helped save the town, and this woman was just like, oh, I wish there was some way I could repay you, but you know, you're a monk. He's like, well, I'm actually just a friar, so I can bang you. And it's just like, wait, what? Why is he a friar? He's gonna be fucking people. A terrible friar. Maybe he's a good friar.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Is
so there
first
you go.
Movie
so
we did? No.
I think that was the first one we did once we turned this to a movie podcast.
Oh, okay. Yes, because that's
summer.
The first one we did after you came back from your holidays.
I believe that was it. That was the first
Before
one.
That was Barbie and Cyberpunk, Witcher.
Terrible movie.
And yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So he's the narrator, and he made the sequel. He's at the beginning of the sequel. I remember seeing that. Yeah, so he sent home to tell the story, and the message to the queen. He's like, in a message to the queen, and Leonidas looked and is like, knight,
nah.
Say nothing.
Give her this necklace. Don't tell the fellas.
I literally was just like, is he gonna be like? Tell her I love her. Tell her I'm thinking.
Tell
about
her
it.
I think she's really hot.
But then
tell
he
her
just,
I miss her.
He's like, nope, I'm not falling into this trick. Not falling into it. All right, so tonight we dine in hell. Queen Gorga, I have on there, is yakking about something, but where's the battle? But this dumbass traitor decides, hey, you know what? In front of this whole Senate and everything, I'm going to make all these wild accusations, and I'm going to carry my bag of Persian gold. So when I get stabbed, it'll spill out on the
floor.
My
traitor gold. I'm going to bring that with me.
I'm going to bring my traitor gold with me. So in case something happens in front of everybody, I'll be carrying it. You idiot.
I loved it. I loved it so much. And I forgot that she fucking kills him.
Yeah.
I love that. I love it so much because I was hitting this scene where he's going, oh, you threw yourself at me and she whores herself around, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, fuck, they're going to believe him.
All the men are like, well, he is a guy. You know, he's smarter, but he's still a man.
Like he's obviously telling the truth. And I loved it. She takes the sword and just plunges it into his stomach and she repeats back to him what he said to her when he assaulted her earlier in the film. Yeah. I thought, nice.
And a good thing is she caught that bag of gold.
She did, yes. And then I love how they all just start chanting, traitor, traitor, traitor.
Traitor.
It's so silly.
Speaking of traitor, back at the battle, Ephialtes is there in his Persian uniform.
You suck. Sorry.
No.
The movies made me hate you.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
But he just wants a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but he has it.
He does want women as well. You glossed over that.
Yeah, but I mean...
chicks.
I mean, yeah, would you got to fault him for that? I mean, he had to do that. He's a Spartan, you know?
Yeah, he wants chicks.
I want women. Yeah.
Not boys.
Yeah,
no,
you
got to
have
no.
women. Boy, no boy, no! Are you from Athens? No. Yeah, so they have this little one-on-one thing here where Leonidas is expected to kneel and submit. And then when Ephialtes came to the front of here, I was like, bro... in your fucking Persian uniform, you're asking for it. So if he would have killed him right there, I would have been like, okay, Effie, I was on your side.
Fair enough.
Until now. But Leonidas does tell him something, again, pretty badass, because he says, may you live forever. And you can see what that does to him, because basically the point of a Spartan is to die in glorious combat. So if you live forever, you're never going to die in combat.
Yep, it's a shameful way for a Spartan to live
and
old
just,
and die in their bed. And
it crushes him.
It does, and I think he just fucks off somewhere. I don't think we see him again.
I don't think we see him again, no. I think he just gets sent to the ether. His body's just
goodbye,
soul just leaves
movie.
His body. But Leonidas kneels like a little bitch. But it's just a ploy. Estelios, the captain, kills the general, and Leonidas hurdles his spear, wounding the god king, showing that he's mortal.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Oh, he cuts his cheek, though, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just fucking massive.
Yeah, he's just so big. But I think a thing there, it didn't really show up because you didn't have the Persians like, oh, my God, he is mortal. But I think it's one of those, it was to show everyone like, oh, shit, he is a man. He's
we
not a god.
We can kill him, yeah.
He's not a god king.
Oh,
and then,
love this whole sequence.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just love where it's like the narrator is talking through what he's doing. He says his helmet was... too heavy, his shield, and he's like dropping everything as he goes, and then he throws the spear, and it's like, it's just a great moment.
Somewhere in here must have, I don't remember if Leonidas said this or if the narrator said it, but I have down, everyone dies, but not everyone really lives. Did he say something like that?
I don't think so.
there had to be something said towards that. Maybe he said something like, everyone dies. The narrator maybe said that.
Someone's, I didn't write anything like that down.
It just stuck out to Braveheart so much because I thought that it kind of was similar.
There was a lot of similarities to Braveheart, I swear.
Yeah. But I should.
The free men, like,
yeah,
all
of
this.
Course. The invading, the overwhelming. But the everyone dies, I think, was mentioned. The not everyone really lives. It was not in this movie. I think I just was like, hey, Scottish.
Yeah.
Never really
no,
lives.
You're right. Yeah, he says every man died on that battlefield. He does
there it
something
was.
Like that.
Every man died
on
the battlefield. To me, like, not every man really lives.
Yeah. You
just get Mel Gibson in there. Join him real quick. So we get this kind of afterlife where he gets to kind of walk. And this very much looks like Elysium, the Elysian Fields, which was this Greek paradise of heroes and some gods. But mainly, like, if you died in battle, in glory, you'd get to take a walk in Elysian fields.
Oh, and I think he sees his wife or like,
the kid.
Does he see like a vision of her and the
too.
Child?
Which is weird because this is so much like Gladiator.
Is it?
I totally remember the ending scene of Gladiator. I remember his hands going through the wheat.
He dies?
What?
In Gladiator?
No.
Okay.
Why?
Because I haven't seen it.
No, I'm talking about that. No, I'm talking about when he's on his like on his farm. That
Oh,
it looks like that same thing.
I thought you meant like he died.
No,
It's like
no.
spoilers.
God, no. Like, no,
You're
it's
allowed
just
to spoil like a 20-year-old film.
yeah, but I
It's
wouldn't want to do it if we're literally about to watch it. But
fine.
no, he it's like it looks just like his like farm or like
Right.
his field, and it kind of sent off a lot of gladiator vibes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, so that's pretty much this ends though. It ends with this battle right here. This is the Battle of Plataea, which would be the final land battle of this second Persian invasion. It would be a Greek victory, and I guess it would lead into the second movie.
Yeah, so I think at this point he's finishing telling the story, and he's great. He's awesome. He tells the story, and there's 10,000 Spartans
Yeah.
and 30,000 free Greeks. And one of my last notes is, I think this is going back a little bit, but Leonidas does this one last, it's like a roar, and he does this super long,
Oh.
loud roar.
Yeah.
And I just loved his perfectly white, straight teeth. Just looking at his teeth going, this doesn't look right.
I thought you were going to say the arrows blotting out,
Oh,
like
that was
to
cool.
kill
That was very cool. But
his
then it was just like,
perfect
yeah, he
teeth.
gets peppered by arrows. But yeah, for some reason, I think because it stayed on his face for so long, I was like, wow, his teeth are amazing. I don't think that's right, but okay.
Wow, his amazing teeth. No, I think that's one of the biggest misnomers. I can't speak about Greek, but a huge misnomer about like medieval period was the teeth, like old people's teeth being bad. Like there was no sugar. Like their teeth, and they did actually quote brush their teeth. They would do, put like certain, I can't remember what the little plant was, but they would do that to like pick stuff out of their teeth. Like they wouldn't brush it, obviously, like fluoride and shit that we have now.
Yes, totally
But
different way
the
of keeping it
huge
clean.
fucking misnomer of like medieval world
Rotting teeth,
is the
yeah.
rotting teeth. It's like, what would rot their teeth? What are they eating that's rotting them?
I think
Is it all the fresh food and fruits and vegetables?
I think what looks funny though is when they're perfectly straight.
Oh, like when, yeah,
So it's like
veneers,
obviously, yeah,
basically.
white
Yeah.
clean is good, but his are just like perfectly straight. I thought, wow, those Spartan dentists, orthodontists are
You
hitting
kind of
it.
see that with some actors, like, okay, they very clearly had work done on their teeth, which is good. It's fine. Like, it's their livelihood is that. But you're right. I'm always amazed how can you not get like natural looking veneers or natural looking teeth? Like, when they're too straight, it's very distracting.
I think it sticks out. Like The Walking Dead is so bad for this. Like The
Is
Walking
it?
Dead, people are always so well groomed, and I'm like, guys, this is post-apocalyptic. We haven't got things that we're very used to having, and
So
now
well groomed.
you're so well groomed right now.
So well groomed. All right. That is 300, directed by Zack Snyder.
Yay!
2006
I
movie.
feel like I should watch the sequel now, shouldn't I?
Yeah. Maybe
Although apparently it's not very good.
maybe we'll do sequel month sometime. Well, if it's not very good, then we can do a
Yeah.
bad sequel month and then
Okay,
do it.
perfect.
All right. Here we go. Final thoughts in the tier rating. Do you know where you're going?
No, I don't yet.
Okay. So I'm going to go. And again, very surprising. Would not have expected this, but I'm actually going to go A tier. Like, I had a
Nice.
ton of fun with this.
Yeah.
The only things that I knock it for, again, not historically, but the representation of the Persians, I forgot to mention, like, the executioner that was executing the generals is like a fucking, like a literal monster. And it's stuff
Yeah,
like
they're a
that.
mountain.
Yeah. And it's stuff like that where it's, if you're telling a fantasy story, you can have orcs and you can have goblins. All right. These were actual people and these were actual empires, like actual humans. So you're dehumanizing actual people that still are around to this day. Like, it's one thing if you made something, you made like I guess you can still say the Roman Empire to be Italian. I don't know. I guess maybe that would be the same. But when you're having people in there, to me, it kind of doesn't. And it is problematic, for that, which, maybe some hadn't come up in there. I don't like as much as you the stuff with the queen and going back with the traitor and all that. I just didn't need that. This movie about 300 Spartans. It's fighting. It's dumb as shit, but it's fucking awesome because you turn your brain off. You don't have to think about anything like that. So if it would have stayed solely on the battle, fully concentrated on that, might have not in the representation being like actual Persian. Now I'm like, fuck, this movie would have been incredible if they did make it a little bit, quote, more realistic. But I'm not gonna knock it in that. I will knock it for the other stuff. But this is A, no doubt. This is a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah, I agree. I've been like umming and ahhing over whether it should be S or
S or
A.
A. Ooh.
Yeah, because S for me is just like, you know, all time fave.
You've seen
to
it
watch.
10
oh, I've,
times.
That's what I mean. That's because usually I forget the words, but usually when something goes into S for me, one of my main things is that I could watch it over and over again, and I would watch it over and over again. I'd watch it tomorrow, I'd watch it the day after, I'd watch it next weekend, and I would, you know, recommend it to everybody. And I do watch that film all the time, and I would watch it over and over again, but I don't know if I want to put it in S.
Okay, because you said you could watch certain scenes over and over.
Oh,
again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
but not
I
the
just
whole movie.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't sit down and watch the whole movie all the time, but like, I would definitely, if somebody hadn't seen it, I would be like, watch it immediately and just enjoy it for what it is. I think I'll go A. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ain't no shame.
Matchy,
ain't no shame in that. Look at that. A. Yeah, I would not have expected it, but.
Yay.
This, I think it might be other Zack Snyder movies that start to whoop, really, really go down. So.
He started off strong.
He did. All right. So stick around right here. A little outro we're going to talk about next week. And oh boy, do we have a doozy. But Lucy, where can we find you?
Oh, you'll find me at Lucy J. Robin all over the internet, mainly YouTube and Twitch right now. I'm going to be starting. Oh, right. When does this episode come out? We'll be playing Mass Effect 3.
Mass Effect 3. Kill some Praetorians.
Exactly.
All right. You can find me on Discord. All right. Next week, History Month trudges on with a Michael Bay endeavor. We're heading to my birthplace. We are heading to Hawaii with Pearl Harbor.
Oh, I'm so excited. This is another film that I've never intently sat down and watched. I've just caught it, you know, on telly, so I've probably missed bits and I've been talking and stuff. So this will be the first time I've ever sat down and properly watched it. It's Michael Bay. Michael Bay month has got to happen at some point.
Yeah, but this movie's terrible. And I remember hating it when I watched it in theaters in 2002, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2002 because I do think it was after 9/11. I think it was because I think I saw a preview for this when I saw Lord of the Rings in 2001. I think it's 2002.
Oh, I just did the same thing you did earlier
just
searched
Pearl Harbor.
Harbor. And it's like,
if you, I swear
why
to God,
did Japan?
1941. If you would have been like, oh, 1941, I'd have been like, what? Are you for? Wait. I know Pearl Harbor.
2001.
It's 2001. No shit. Out, yeah. So it was right after 9/11. Okay. All right. All right. So. Next week, Pearl Harbor, heading to Hawaii. Aloha.